Blog Talk Radio.
For sin is no longer your master. It said you are free by God's grace.
Hi, and welcome to Salt of the Oats Ministry. I'm your host, Willie Needham. This radio broadcast is dedicated to instructing and equipping the saints with what they need to fulfill the Great Commission. Our focus is street evangelism and reaching out to the lost. So here's Willie with today's teaching.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." That is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, also commonly known as the Great Commission. You may have heard this a lot, especially whenever you have some sort of big outreach within your church, maybe getting people psyched up to their Easter or Christmas service. Very popular passage. Well, this pretty much has a lot. In fact, I would even say that it's pretty much the purpose of the church summed up very, very beautifully. I mean, it is Jesus speaking, so how much more beautiful can it get? But this is the purpose of the church. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Very simple. So today's message is the first part of a five-part series called Go Therefore and Now What? Because you hear this from the pulpit. You know, the pastors are pounding it at the pulpit. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Get out there and evangelize. They tell you why. They tell you that you should. They give you multiple reasons why. But the problem is, what does it mean to make disciples of all nations? You know, we went, therefore, and now what do we do? Well, hopefully I can shed some light on this subject. I'd really like to. I've been studying this for a while. So, we're going to start talking about evangelism. After all, this is kind of the point of the message, this entire radio show, in fact, is evangelism. So if you're listening to this broadcast, hopefully you are an aspiring evangelist or a Christian who is convicted about not evangelizing enough or at all. So if that's the case, I have to ask you this. Why do you not share your faith as much as you feel you should be? Because let's face it, even Billy Graham would tell you he doesn't share his faith as much as he wants to. And Billy Graham is not this perfect evangelist or anything like that, but he'll tell you. I mean, you know, he's pretty much the face of evangelists over the past century. Ray Comfort would probably tell you he doesn't evangelize as much as he wants to. But we don't need to be comparing ourselves to other evangelists. But in my studying of why people don't really do it, is ultimately fear. That's the biggest thing, is fear. Is for, you know, first and foremost, not the only thing. Fear of criticism by other Christians. I mean, I've heard people that evangelical Christians have zeal without knowledge. You know, we're dumb and we're loud. They try to make us feel that way. Or that we're being unloving by telling people that they're going to hell if they don't turn from their sins and trust in Jesus. Or not being in the Spirit. I've heard that one countless times, and it really frustrates me. Because let me tell you something right now. You cannot evangelize without the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. If I was at a church, I'd get a whole lot of amens! And then I'd get down after service and go to the little coffee session afterwards and ask people what they thought of it, and they're like, oh, you weren't in the spirit. So some that stuff honestly frustrates me. But you need the Holy Spirit anyway. So if you are evangelizing, you are being prompted by the Holy Spirit to do so. So don't listen to that. Your love is pushing you to warn people about the danger. And if zeal without knowledge, a little bit of studying and you'll be okay. You might be afraid of getting threatened by a non-Christian. I mean, I've gotten threats before. I've been cussed out by people. It happens. You may be afraid of feeling foolish. That's a very common one. In fact, that's probably the most common, to where even in a very safe environment where it's a lot of very nice, polite people around, you still might be afraid of feeling foolish. Well, I understand. I share in that. Usually people have fear of feeling foolish before they do something, so they don't do it. Some people feel foolish while they're doing it, but then they're fine after they're done. I, however, maybe there's some, maybe some of you people out there, what do you mean, you people? Some of you might understand this, might know where I'm coming from. Jump right in. Just take the plunge, go for it, be completely fearless before, fearless in the middle of it, but then as soon as you walk away, oh, I felt so foolish. You feel like you just wrecked it all. That's something that I struggle with the most, is after the fact. But you know what? It still got done. I leave it in the hands of the Lord and let Him take care of the rest. Because it's His work, not mine. Or you may be afraid of being mistreated by the authority. Have I had the police called on me? Yes, I have, when street preaching. Never as far as committing any crimes, I've never had the police called on me in that. Only when I've street preached. You know, somebody just doesn't like what I have to say. They think I'm a lunatic because I'm speaking loud. They don't understand what I'm doing, and they don't bother to even ask me. They just call the police. Unfortunately, the police that I've worked with, they're fine. They're very polite. They're very pleasant. They're very professional. They understand what I'm doing, and they have no problem with it. Some have even told me they are for it. They are completely okay with it, and they support it. And that they would protect me in the event of anything going wrong. That's wonderful. So don't be afraid of being mistreated by authority. You have the right, as long as you're not doing anything dumb. But there are wonderful incentives, wonderful rewards to evangelism. I mean, first of all, you're witnessing the power of God at work. See, Romans 1:16. See, if you're an aspiring evangelist, have this on your heart. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Powerful. It's not a clever trick. It's not a psychologically manipulative mind control technique. It's not any of that stuff. It is the power of God unto salvation. So there are many different ways you can look at the word witness. You can say you are sharing your testimony with what you have witnessed Jesus do in your life. When you share with somebody else, you are witnessing the power of God at work in that individual as you're sharing. Or the most hardcore way to look at it, the root word of witness is the same root word as martyr, to die. It truly means to die to oneself. So there are some things to think about with that. It is the power of God, not your cleverness. Because believe me, some of the worst witnessing encounters, at least I thought they were the worst ones I've ever done, usually end up having the most positive outcome. So, the other thing is that if you struggle with sin, who doesn't? I hear anybody saying they don't, well, be quiet because you're a liar. We all struggle with sin. But being on the front line will help us overcome our struggle. But this is really what it takes to change the world. You know, we can change the world through the power of God. It's only the power of God that's going to change the world. I mean, there's no way around it. It's only the power of God that's going to change the world. So hopefully, those are encouraging things. Considering 12 Jewish peasants completely just destroyed the world. I mean, the old way of the world within 20 years, 2 decades. That's all it took. Just 12 simple peasants, fishermen, people of ultra-conservative or ultra-liberal, however you want to look at it, political parties, people who were really just nobodies, completely turned the world around because of the power of God. You can do that too. Because all they had was the Old Testament. We have the whole Word of God. We have even more so than they do. It said, Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed is he who sees, more so he who does not see and believes." We have more. We have more than they do because we have the accounts. There are people who are fearless, and they do it, but they don't seem to get what's going on. Why isn't this working? It's probably very frustrating. And so you get discouraged because you just don't know what to do. So how many of you out there would witness more if you just knew how to do it? That was me. I was never really afraid. I just didn't know how. I didn't know what I needed to do. I mean, I was one of those people who was like, okay, I'm going, Jesus. I'm going, Lord. But now what? Now what do I do? So here's the who, what, when, and where of evangelism. Very simple. Who? Who's on first? No, wrong who. Who is supposed to be evangelizing? Simple. Everyone who is saved. I'm going to get hardcore here. Now brace yourself. I'm about to quote Charles Spurgeon. Here we go. And if you're not concerned about other people's salvation, you're not saved yourself. Fooled you. Paraphrase. Boom! But that came from paraphrasing Charles Spurgeon. Yeah, I went there, man. But if you're not concerned about other people's salvation, can you really say that you're saved? You just had your life transformed, man. You just went from death to life. You were brought back from the dead. How could you not care about other people who were dead? So if you're not concerned about other people's salvation, you are not saved. Go ahead, write me and challenge me on that. But no, you're not saved if you're not concerned about other people. Now you may say, what about the passages in Ephesians about, some to be apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers? Here's the thing. Not everybody has to be an evangelist to evangelize. The office of evangelist, the purpose of that position, if you want to call it that, is to equip the saints to evangelize. Do they evangelize themselves? Of course they do. But the evangelist is the one who is printing out the gospel tracts and distributing them among their brethren and going out there as an example with them, training them and encouraging them. That's what the evangelist is supposed to be doing. And that's what I'm doing. You can call me an evangelist. but don't say that I have the gift of evangelism. I don't like it. The only thing I'll have to say to you, if you say that I have the gift of evangelism, is very simple. It's not true. I don't have the gift of evangelism. Nobody has the gift of evangelism. Yeah, some are better at it than others, I suppose. But once again, it comes back to the power of God. So to say that somebody has a gift of evangelism, I'm kind of saying, like, they have more power of God. They have more of God's power than you do. That gets really weird. That kind of turns it into a two-tiered system of believers. So don't do that. Don't you be doing that now. So that's the who. The who? Yeah, the who. Well, now for the what. What are we doing when we evangelize? Well, first of all, we testify. We testify to what we know. We know that we are dead in our sins until Christ brings us back to life. We testify to what God has done in our lives, where we were, what the Lord did for us to change us, and where we are now. That's your testimony. Credentials, conversion, commission, and communion. 4 points. Your credentials is where you were. Your conversion is what God did in your life to change you. Your commission is what your purpose in life is now that you're saved. And your communion is what kind of relationship do you have with Christ? Communion means relationship. So that's what a testimony is. And hopefully you have a testimony. Of course you do. If you're saved, you have a testimony. But what exactly are we preaching if we're not just straight up giving our testimony, if we're actually, like, persuading others to do the same? Well, here's the thing. Very simple. Law to the proud, grace to the humble. 3 times throughout Scripture, the same passage, but it's quoted by different people. Essentially in Proverbs 3:34, then it's quoted in James 4:6, and then 1 Peter 5:5. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So law to the proud, meaning it breaks them, it shows that God is resisting them, their proud heart, and then grace to the humble. Once they've been humbled by the fact that they are not good enough on their own, and that they are in an awful lot of trouble if they were to die tonight, that's when you give them the grace. That is when you give them the cross. So that's the what, very simple. This is the when, anytime you can. Ideally, if you can bring somebody with you for safety and accountability. But if you've got to do it alone, if you are just bursting at the seams to just go evangelize, even if you have to do it alone, good for you, go for it. Let somebody know where you're going and what you're doing, how long you're going to be there. Let somebody know who can get you, if you're in trouble, can help you out. I had a buddy of mine, he was a fellow evangelist, went into the worst neighborhood in the Hudson Valley in the middle of the night, where all the drug dealers and gang people and prostitutes and all these bad things are going on in, you know, in the downtown area. And he's just by himself. Nobody knows where he is. He just went there, just randomly. He didn't tell me until about 2 weeks later. Like, you know what? I'm glad I'm hearing from you. I'm glad you're talking to me right now. And I'm also glad you're not talking to me from a hospital bed. Dude, you could have gotten in a lot of trouble. You know, you might think to yourself, well, good, I'm being martyred for Christ. No, you're being dumb by putting yourself in a situation you don't have to be in. Just let somebody know. You know, and if you're a friend of mine, you're able to actually contact me directly, and you want to go to that particular area, because if you know me well enough, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you just really got to go out there and just do that. At 2 a.m, call me. I will go with you. I don't care how much sleep I have to lose. I want to make sure you're safe. Okay? okay? But bring somebody along with you for safety and accountability. Because as far as the accountability, make sure you don't do anything dumb. Or, if you feel like you did something dumb, then you need somebody to lift you up and encourage you, saying, no, you didn't do anything dumb, you're okay. See, Jehovah's Witnesses, they spend about 5.5 hours a week doing this. Individual Jehovah's Witnesses. They spend like 5.5 hours a week, on average. We really can't let them get the best of us. And that stuff upsets me, because they have such a whacked out message of a lot of work. They're working their way into heaven, and they're running circles around us as far as spreading their satanic gospel. We can't just let that go. I mean, I've declared war on the Watchtower, that you all will join me in this. So the where? Well, depending on situations, there are different things you can do. Like, depending on where you are, meaning, there are different things you can do. For instance, if you're at a festival, you can actually, if you can get in on it, you can set a booth up. Obviously, you got to get permission. You got to get the booth space and stuff like that. But you can set up a booth in a festival. Amazing. Depending on how big the festival is, you can get dozens or you can get hundreds. I've led one myself in a local community day. We're at a booth, and it was just me and one other person for the majority of the day, and then another person for the other half of the day. And 60 people. Pretty good. I mean, and it's not just like one group of 60 people at one time where you're just preaching open air. It was 60 people who sat down and heard the whole gospel message, one-to-one. It was a really cool table concept, if I do say so myself. It was my helpmeet's idea, and I must give her very fair credit to it. This was wonderful. But to check it out, look it up on YouTube. Look up my name, Willie Needham, and you go from there. But if you're in the right area where there's just a lot of foot traffic, and people don't really have anywhere in particular to go, then that's a good time to open-air preach. Because they'll stop and they'll listen. It's a lot of fun. It's an incredible rush. And I'm going to do a whole message on preaching. I'm going to do a whole message on the one-to-one witnessing. Tell stories about it. The other way, too, you can do it pretty much anywhere in this way, is gospel tracts. Keep some in your pocket. Keep some in your wallet. Just on you at all times. They're silent preachers, to where if you're fearful, you hand them a gospel tract and you run. I mean, it doesn't have to be like very obvious that you're running, but you hand them a gospel tract, end the conversation right there, like, oh, I gotta go, just read the back of it, it'll explain everything, that sort of thing. You can do that anywhere. But if you're in a hurry, you're bold and a bull in a china shop like myself, where I just don't have time to share the whole gospel message. I'm going to be late for work or whatever reason. My family's sitting in the car and I'm at the gas station or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I just give them a gospel track. Have a nice day. That can go anywhere. That's the focus. That is the purpose of the church. It is why we do what we do. You're supposed to be doing this. There is no reason for us to be just sitting on our behinds. And the most that you hear is on Sunday morning, or even if you're constantly listening to it, but you're not giving it back to the lost. Evangelizing. Also, don't just invite somebody to church and hope that they get saved because they're going to a good church. There are a lot of good churches out there that are filled with unsaved people. Does that make it a bad church? Of course not. It just means They gotta work at it. We shouldn't be just putting the effort of all the evangelism on the pastor. That's not fair. The pastor has a lot to deal with. There's no need to be putting the burden of evangelizing everybody in their church on his shoulders alone, when you are perfectly capable. So please, brethren, let's not lose our focus. We need to stay focused on task. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, Jesus is with you always, even to the end of the age. He will always be with you when you're preaching. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. So remember that. I'm going to say it again. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. Remember, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. You can, however, put salt in his oats to make him thirsty. And may your conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you know how you ought to answer each one.